Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday is about the end of the world. It's about the end of the present order and this generation, and about the coming of a new generation and a new creation. People are more or less attuned to final things. Everyone knows that they will die someday. And most people, at least, have considered the possibility of life on planet Earth being threatened, what with the news cycle laundering over and over again, the same stuff on a different month, wars, rumors of wars, threats to the environment, disease, inflation, resource shortages, and the list goes on. People think about how we need to save the world. Not so much how God is coming to end it. Likewise, people don't think much, critically anyways, about the beginning of the world. I remember growing up learning the theory of human evolution in school or in museums while hearing the story of six-day creation at church. They're different stories. They're opposite stories. I don't know which one I believed as a child, but I do know that I couldn't have believed both. And it's the same with the end of the world, with final things. You can't believe both stories. You can't believe that humans can save the world, or that the world is in their hands, and that God is coming to end it. But like the beginning of the world, so too the end of the world. Scripture has already revealed it. Man was created by an act of God, and the sinful world will be destroyed by an act of God. What this means for your life is that you have to sort out any sort of confusion you see in the world by believing what God says about it. The Word of God says that distress in nations, that the fear and foreboding of the world, okay, that is of those who seek the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions, those who seek these things, they will have premonitions and they will have fears. And these premonitions and fears are very, very rational. They are rational because the world that they have trusted in is going to be taken away from them, and they will be left with nothing. But these things that are premonitions to them are signs to you. They are signs that Jesus, your deliverer, is drawing near. They're signs that Christ is coming and that he is on his way. And when he arrives, those who trust in the world will have what they trust in taken away from them. But those who trust in Christ will only lose temptation. They will only lose sin. They will only lose doubt. And they will gain the final deliverance of their soul. Someone might say, why do preachers keep hating on the world? Didn't Jesus so love the world? Yes, Jesus loves the world in the sense that he loves all that he made. But he also hates the world in the sense of all that preaches towards things that he didn't create. Sin, death, evil, twisted things, and those things that promote these. Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. St. James says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And now John the Apostle gives a great definition of the world in his first epistle. John says the world is that which promotes and preaches, quote, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions. Unquote. Those who trust in these things have a lot to lose at the end of the world. So it is, we are saved by faith, and we're damned by it. We're saved by that in which we trust, and it's the same for those who are lost. And this is why we need at least an annual reminder on this Sunday that Christianity is not about social reform or political justice. You can join social causes or political parties, and they could be more or less beneficial in the corner of the world that you inhabit and in your vocation, insofar as you believe it can help the people that you're to care about. But it won't make an iota of difference, ultimately, for the fate of the world. You were made for eternity. That's not what this world is. You're not going to save the Titanic after it hits the iceberg. You can cart buckets of water from the hull, but that ship is going down. Thanks be to God, he has built a better ship than that. He's built an ark. He has built his church to save you from the world and from its fate. Someone once said that trying to reform society without Jesus is like rearranging furniture in a burning house. Not a bad image of the world, but not a perfect one either. Jesus' teaching goes further than that. Because reforming society, with or without Jesus, is rearranging furniture in a burning house. Jesus is not coming to save the world as it is. He's coming to end it. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Don't sit on your hands, though. Love and help your neighbor. Serve your community. Serve your country. Serve your culture. But do not trust in them. Reform the world by doing good to one another, but don't delude yourself. Loving your neighbor will please God, will exercise your faith, and it will help your neighbor, but it will never save the world. So don't look for a political solution to sin. Don't trust in laws and regulations and the right party platform to change the fate of the world. Because reforming society, with or without Jesus, is rearranging furniture in a burning house. The end of the world is terrifying for those who love it, for those who care more for this life than eternal life. Thankfully, we love God. We understand the world is meant for fire, and that's already kindled. And we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.